gonna stand all over the house this morning. It is a joy to be in the house of God. Amen. Aren't you glad that you're here? Man, I'm glad I'm not. Tell you what, they had the best hospital in the state of North Carolina. I'd rather be here than in the hospital. Can I get a witness from anybody? Give the Lord praise as we sing this old song today. Come that morning, we shall see Jesus in the air. Coming after you and me, joy and ash to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints arise. Headed for that jubilee yonder in the sky. And oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, oh, that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. See them now, see all the saints dead, rising for the jubilee that is just ahead.
Says in the moment and the twinkling of an eye, man, I'm telling you, we're going to be out of here. Who's ready to go this morning? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, God, that you bestowed upon us, just allowing us to be in the house of God today with God's people, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Father, I pray, God, that you touch us one more time, this side of heaven, God. The times that we live, dear Father, what a watering hole it is to be able to come to the house of God and hear the singing, songs of Zion, the preaching of the Word of God that stirs our soul. And it gives us a refreshing time for our thirsty souls. And Father, I pray, God, that there be one here, God, today that just needs a good, fresh touch from you, God, today. Father, I pray, God, that you just do a work in their heart and their life, God, today. And God, that you'd illuminate their mind. And I pray, God, that you restore them, God, today. Father, I pray you'd bring peace to their heart and any chaos that may be in their life. Father, there'd be one here, God, today that may be lost. God, that they don't know you and their free pardon of sin. Father, they look good on the outside, but God, their soul is black. And Father, I pray, God, today, God, that you take care of red blood. God, you'd apply it to their life, God, and make their life as white as snow and wash their sins away as they come and confess you as their Savior, God, today. And ones, God, that may be here today, God, they may even cry on the way to church this morning. God, they're burdened in their heart and their life, God, today. I pray that you'd lift that burden and bring the peace, God, that they need, God, today. Father, I pray you'd bless the songs of Zion. Stir us one more time, God, today. Prepare our heart, God, for the word of God. And we'll love you and thank you for all that you do. In Christ's name we pray. And the people of God said,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord praise as you're seated today in the presence.
Thank you.
think we're ready to go to church today. Amen. And what a wonderful time it is to be able to come to the house of the Lord. We're going to do something a little bit different. We'll take it down just a notch. This song says it well. It says, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes it takes us getting to a low place in our life for God to get a hold of us. If you're here this morning and you need to meet with God, there's no purpose, no use in waiting to the end of the service for an invitation and an altar call while the Spirit's moving. Let God do a work in your life. You might as well go ahead and throw in right now and enjoy the rest of the service. Just go ahead and say, God, I surrender. I've done it my way too long. I've been through too much hard, too much heartache, too much pain, too much mess. And Lord, I just throw up my hands and I give it to you this morning. Thank you for coming to church. We don't come to pump a person, a personality or program. We come to lift up the name that is above every name, and that name of Jesus Christ.
Sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes a strong sea. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold.
So
Sometimes it takes a mountain to trust you and believe.
Can we sing a chorus?
Sometimes it takes a mountain.
Have you ever been there?
Sometimes such troubles seem. Sometimes it takes a desert to get a hold of me. Your love is so
inside of us. Worship through our suffering, our pain. God will become the healer of our heartaches and our suffering. Listen.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come.
And fill the atmosphere.
Somebody praise him.
Stop.
Guess what? I can testify. Amen. I've been wanting to testify. I've been testifying just bits and pieces. But I'm thankful this morning that he is here among us. If you've come here this morning just to take up space, just because you decided to come to church, my, you're in the right place. You may have come for all the wrong reasons, but God has a purpose and a plan for you today. I'm glad that in the wee hours of the morning, God can bring peace to our souls and our minds, and he can cease the storm that's in our lives. I mean, he walked out on the water and called peace, and the winds and the waves had to obey him. I'm glad that he's walked out on the sea in my own life. And he's called peace. And he brought peace. I bet he's a peace.
Endless fire, I don't.
I did say you did a wonderful job.
Hey! Wonderful, wonderful. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible this morning, I'm going to just try to pick up right there and run with it. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Just a couple verses of scripture, real short, and I hope I can give you a message that will be a help to you as it has helped me. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 11. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Just let's read those again. "And after him was Shema, the son of Agi, the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together in a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils," or that's basically a pea patch. "And the people fled from the Philistines, but he stood in the midst of ground and defended it, slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory." Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, God, for the next little while that you'd help us, that God, you'd give us what we need in this place, in this time. Speak to us through your word. Thank you, God, for what you've been doing in this service, Lord. And we're believing you for what you're going to do as we go and go further in and see what you have to say through your word. Lord, have your will and have your way. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you will do. We ask these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. We ask these things. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. This morning we find a little known character in the Bible by the name of Shema. And he is, as you read through this chapter, he is one of what is termed and called one of David's mighty men. David had many that were in this crew. He had a huge army. He had I think it was 37 or 40 that were mighty men. And of these, there were three that were the mightiest, three that were the greatest, three that were the chief of those. And Shema was one of those. And we run into this story about him and how that they find themselves there in a place where the Philistines have come to battle, have come to take what God has given to them, to take in a time of harvest, that they've planted, that they've sown, that they've worked for, they've tended to, they've watered, and here come the Philistines to try and take it. And finally, somebody said, "I've had enough. We're just not going to do that anymore." And basically, he's standing in a field full of beans. And you may ask yourself a question, Brother Robert, if I preach a little bit long, I've been trying to preach this message for over 20 years. For over 20 years, I've asked the Lord to give me a message around this. And finally, this morning, he does. So some of y'all are looking at me like, "Lord, help me, we ain't never going to get out of here." Hopefully, I won't be very long. It's just two verses. How long could I yammer on about two verses? Yeah, don't answer that out loud now, all right? He may have had a field of beans, but perhaps it was a field of dreams. He may have been given something, and God allowed him to see something that was worth fighting for. I found that people may get behind you. They may get on your team. They may get on your side for a while. But if they don't have something in the fight, if there's not something worth fighting for, when times get tough, when times get hard, they'll get gone. But Shema apparently had a vision that he saw something that maybe others did not see. Let's look here in verse number 11. The verse number 11 tells us that the Philistines were gathered together there into a troop where the piece of ground was full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. This is a time of conflict in this field of dreams. The Philistines had come in, and the Philistines had come to this area. And it's interesting, as I done a little study, Brother Ronnie, I found out that this is probably the same area that Samson took a jawbone of an ass and slew 1,000 of them. And this is the same area that they decided they come back into. This is, remember, after the time of the judges. We're in the time of the kings now. David is king at this point. And here they are. They've come back into this place and decided, I'm going to allow that the nation of Israel, we're going to let them sow their seed. We're going to let them do what they do. We're going to let them water. We're going to let them do all that. But when it comes time to harvest, we're going to come and take what they've sown into. Ain't that just like the enemy? He'll sit idly by while we're working. He'll sit idly by while we're trying to build something, while we're trying to do something for the glory of God. But allow it to start springing up. Allow some growth to start happening. Allow some things to start blossoming and things to start blooming. Allow the fruit to start to show. And then the enemy likes to step in. Then the enemy likes to just jump in and say, I'm going to take all the hard work, all the difficulty, all the struggle, all the trial that you put into this, and I'm going to take it for myself. And notice when the enemy came. He comes, and they came during a time of harvest. While they were working to get their crops in, Brother John, they no doubt didn't have their eyes looking over the mountain, wondering who might show up. They was just trying to get the harvest. They was trying to get it in. See, they put a whole lot into this. There was a lot of effort that had gone into this. Back in the spring, they planted it. Back in the time of planting, they had put into there. Then during the summertime, they went in, they protected it. They protected it from the animals that would come and try to eat it, from the weeds that would grow among it. Ain't that just like in life? We've got things that happen to us and things that go on, and we try to sow a seed somewhere, and just as soon as it starts to grow up, weeds start to grow up around it. Weeds start to try to choke it out and to kill it. Things from the outside to try to come in to destroy it. We protect it every way we can. By the way, if you've got a seed in your life, if God is putting something down on the inside of you, by the way, mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas, we got seed that are around us, and it is our job to protect them. It's our job to be sure to weed out all the weeds, all the stuff that would choke them out, that would mess them up. It is our job to protect them. They planted them. They protected them. But when it come time to harvest, there they were. They were getting ready to pick the fruit. The product was there. And that's when the enemy showed up. Be careful. Be careful in your harvest season that the enemy doesn't come in and destroy and take everything that you put into it. We've got to make up our mind to be like this mighty man this mighty warrior that David had and say, I'm going to see when the enemy comes and I'm going to be ready for him. By the way, if you read the book of Nehemiah, they learned to build and to battle. They had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. There's going to be seasons in your life, and I'm afraid in 2021 and following, we're not going to just be able to sit back idly by and just build up and just have more and expect the world to pat us on the back and expect the world to give us some hand clap of applause because we're doing something. We're going to have to learn to build while we battle. We're going to have to learn to have a sword in one hand and a trowel in another hand and keep our mind on what we're doing and what the enemy's trying to do to us. Somebody help me now. We live in a season. We live in a time that we've got to learn to keep our eyes on the enemy as well as our eyes on what God has purposed us to do. When the enemy came, why the enemy came? He came to inflict casualty. He came to destroy the crops. They come to bring hurt and bring harm. They wanted hurt and harm in the immediate as well as in the future. If they could take their crop, they wouldn't have anything to eat through the winter. They would hurt them now. They would hurt them later on down the road. I want to share something with us this morning. The devil, I believe this is the truth. The devil doesn't care so much that we're having church this morning. He doesn't mind us singing. He didn't mind us shouting a little bit. He doesn't mind the preaching. He doesn't mind much of what goes on here, but when we get serious about serving God and then take it out of here into the world, that's when he's going to attack. That's when he's going to get all sideways. That's when the trouble is going to come. I'm all for it. I'm the biggest cheerleader that there is around here. Maybe Brother Robert's a little bit bigger of a cheerleader, and he's probably better looking of a cheerleader. I don't know. My wife is supposed to say, no. Well, we'll be in the altar in just a little while. But when we come to this place, man, it's wonderful for us to come to the house of God and worship and praise and sing and preach and shout. And I'm all for all that. I'm going to egg it on every time I see it. I'm going to fan the flame. Somebody would say, oh, well, I wouldn't fan that flame. They might have wildfire. Don't you worry. There's enough wet Baptist blankets to put out any wildfire. Help me now. Some folk, I believe they're spiritual gifts, the Baptist Bucket Brigade. Anytime anything gets to going on, don't you worry about it, preacher, I'll put that out. Help us now. The conflict in the field. The enemy comes at the time of harvest. Why does he come? He comes to inflict harm. He comes to destroy and steal the crop. Notice this, and I'll move on. Not only that, we see what the enemy found. When he showed up there, the Bible says the people fled from the Philistines. This is the same thing that had happened many times, no doubt. If you go back to the book of Judges, when you read the chapters there around the story of Gideon, we find out the Midianites, the same kind of thing. They would do the same thing over and over and over because they knew they could. because they knew there's a crowd that's just going to roll over. They knew there's a crowd that's just going to let them do whatever they wanted to do. And it's a sad commentary of the church in 2021 that the enemy knows if I do this and I do that, and then they're just going to roll over and they're just going to throw up the white flag and they're going to say, I ain't worried. It ain't worth fighting for. It ain't worth fighting over. It ain't worth fighting about. Can I tell you this morning, I've done planted my feet in the pea patch, and there's some things that are worth fighting about. There's some things that I'm going to stand for. There's some things that you ought to stand for. There's some things that we ought to just make up our mind. I've gone back as far as I can. I ain't taking another step back. I draw my line in the sand. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
A time of conflict. I'm asking you this. What is it? What struggle are we facing this morning? What is it that is coming against you to try to keep you from serving God? Someone has walked out on you. Someone has stabbed you in the back. Something has fallen apart. Satan's just using those little pieces in your life and saying, look, it ain't worth serving. I had someone tell me this, said, preacher, seems like every time that I try to serve God, every time that I try to get close to God, every time that I try to get serious about this thing of living for God, then my world falls apart. Count it all joy. I believe James said, maybe it's Peter. When fiery trials, Peter, when we come up against fiery trials, Jesus said, this world hated me, and it's going to hate you as well. Just go ahead and count that as I must be getting close to where God wants me to be. If the devil's trying to fight me this much, then I know I'm just about where I need to be this morning. There was a conflict in the field, but that led to a man that had courage in the field. The Bible said, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. He stood in the midst of the ground and defended. Shema has said, I've done all the backing up that I'm going to do. I've done all the running that I'm going to do. I've done all the apologizing that I'm going to do. I've made all the excuses that I'm going to make. I've just decided today is the day. It's better for me to live to die in this field like this than to live running, to live scared, to live afraid, to live doing what the enemy would have me to do. This man had a bit of courage down inside of him. There was a resolve that was about him. Why do you think he had this resolve? I believe there was a reason behind his resolve. In this do or die moment, he said, I believe that this piece of ground, this little field, is connected to my future. How many of you would agree with me that our future is worth fighting for? He said, I believe that what I can be, what I will be, is connected to what I do today. It's time to do something for God. While everyone else runs away, the Bible said that he stood his ground. He stood
in the midst of them. I've told you that he became what is known as one of David's mighty men. He also is known of the three the three that were the greatest of his mighty men. And I believe that there no doubt was a time in his life that he looked back, maybe sitting around with the king, he looked back and remembered, "I'm glad I stood my ground that day." As David ascended to the throne, and there he was in the inner workings of the administration, I no doubt he probably looked around and said, "You know what? I'm sure I'm glad that I stood my ground at the pea patch that day. I'm glad I told them Philistines. I've done all the backing up I'm going to do. I'm glad that I fought because I found out there was a God that was with me. I found out there was a God that was for me. I found out there was a God that would go before me." Somebody go to church with me now. What we look at affects what we think about. Someone said this: our view affects our vision. You say, "Well, of course it does. That's what you see." You can have a problem with your spirit or with your physical sight, and nothing be wrong with your physical sight. He stood there, and I'll give you an example. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 5, the Bible said he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven, tell the stars if thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed in the Lord, and he counted unto him for righteousness. Of course, this is Abraham here. And God calls him to see something that he was having a problem seeing. And as I was studying this, Brother Robert, I'd never thought about it like this before. Here's Abraham laying in his tent. Let's just say it's a big tent. Let's say the top of that tent's 8 foot tall. He built him a big tent. He's laying, got something spread out on the ground. He's laying in his tent, laying on that. All I can see is that and the top of that tent, the sides of that tent. And God said, "Step out of the tent. I want to show you something. Your vision is blocked by your tent. Your vision is only 8 foot high." He said, "Step out here." He said, "The sky is the limit. There's nothing I can't do." He said, "Look out." And he looked and saw all those stars. There's another place in the Bible said, "So shall the sand of the sea, so shall your blessing be." And so as he looked out, Brother Robert, he looked up, couldn't count the stars. Looked at the sand, sure couldn't count all that. And God said, "I'm giving you something that's worth fighting for. I'm giving you something that's worth believing me for. I'm giving you something that is worth living your life for." And the Bible said that he went out and looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Sometimes you and I have got to get our vision off of what we can see and look into what we can't see. Look and see what God has for us. He took him outside the tent. Think about Shema. Maybe he just let Shema get a glimpse of what could be. Said, "This might look like a little pea patch to you, but you ain't seen nothing about what I can do." Maybe let Shema remember that this was the area that God strengthened Samson to slay all those Philistines. Brother John, maybe he said, "Well, if God can do it for him, why can't God do it for me?" Can I tell you this? God is no respecter of persons. God doesn't love me or anyone around you more than he loves you. God wants to do great things in your life if you'll submit to him. And what the Bible says, he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He just took God at his word. I wonder if Shema ever set up in the king's palace and just kind of went back in his mind to back to that field of dreams that he had and thought, I would have never dreamed that God would do this. I wonder if Abraham ever went to back to Mount Moriah when he marched up his only son, his only begotten son, and went up to the top of Mount Moriah, stretched forth his hand, getting ready to take his own son's life. And when God said, back, he looked over and their ram was caught in the thicket and said, hold on. God, he remembered what he told Isaac all the way up. God will provide himself a lamb. I wonder if Jacob ever went back to the river Jabbok. I wonder if he ever went to that little ford there. I wonder if he ever went to that place and remembered where he wrestled all night with the angel. I wonder if he remembered why he walked with a limp the rest of his life. Because God touched him and changed him from trickster to one that has power with God. I wonder if old David ever went down to the valley of Elah where he stood and the great giant stood there calling out the army of Israel, calling them out and said, come, send me a man, let him fight with me. In fact, I know he did. 1 Samuel 21, verse 8. David said to Ahimelech, there he is, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword now, my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. Verse 9, 1 Samuel 21. Priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. Now notice this. For there is none here save thee. And David said, there is none like it. Give it me. There's not another sword that I can have that would give me the kind of faith that I'm going to need besides that one. What, Brother Robert, what it did, it was it reminded him of past victories where God had shown himself faithful. God had done what he said he would do. God had done more than enough. And by the way, when he went down to that valley, he picked up five smooth stones. Somebody said, it's because Goliath had four brothers and he's ready to take them all out. I said, bless his name. There's times in your life you got to go back to the place that God done something in your life. You got to go back to the place. I'm talking about having courage. How you gonna stand? How you gonna fight? You got to go back to where God delivered before. And if God did it before, God can do it again. If you'll stand in the place of a miracle, you can have twice the faith. You can have twice the trust. Just believe him this morning. Here's the last one. Look at verse number 12 in the latter part. The Bible said he and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. And he slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory, the conquest in the field. We see as Shema stands there and victorious over this whole Philistine troop that showed up. He reminded himself that there was a God that stood with him there. No doubt David probably, he was one of David's mighty men. No doubt David had sent him on some dangerous treks. And maybe on the inside he started to feel a little bit fearful. Perhaps even doubting if this was if this is going to work or not. And he would go back in his mind's eye. He would go back to that little field, that little pea patch, where he stood and he fought and slew the Philistines. And the Bible said, and the Lord wrought a great victory. My mind goes back to just over there in that old building. Now we call it the shack. It was an old machine shop that a handful of folk had decided that they would go after God. They built something. They worked and they labored, tried to make it into the church the best they could. Snake skins falling out of the roof and everything else. And cold, all that kind of stuff. But finally, they made it into a church. And I come in on the ladder end toward the end of that building there. And Brother John, I started attending church over here, or over there. And God got to speaking to my heart. And I knew God was wanting to do something, but I didn't know what God wanted to do. And so I just tried my best to listen and stay out of the way. And as God was working and God was speaking to me, God was dealing with me, we had a little old jubilee, they called it. It was supposed to be a Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. Brother Buddy Buffet Hoffner. If you know Brother Buddy, you'll know that he takes that kindly and affectionately. By the way, pray for him. He asked me to pray that the Lord would send him a piano player. He's up in Kannapolis, China Grove area. And so, you know, anybody can help him up there, you pray about that. He was preaching, and that turned into 2 weeks of revival. Brother John, that in that second week, I knew that God was doing something, but I didn't want to miss him. I didn't want to jump the gun, didn't want to do the wrong thing. And I'll never forget that Friday night. Their choir was singing that night, and I went over on this side of the altar. I take you exactly where it's the altar's taken out over there, but it's still got little holes in the floor where the little notch was in that altar. I take you exactly where it was, right over there. I was holding my Ryrie study Bibles all worn from, thank God I started using my Bible, amen. You ought to have a Bible that's broke in, that's worth it, that's used, amen. Ain't nothing wrong with digital stuff and all that stuff, but I like a hard copy Bible. I mean, a real Bible that you can hold. Because I'll tell you why. If they can change anything they want to, you don't think they can change your digital Bible? Get you something that you can hold on to that they can't change. Amen. So, I was holding that Bible, and I was praying, and people started gathering around me. And I remember just opening my eyes a moment and seeing tears fall down on that Bible. Brother John, I got up that evening. Well, that night, it was late by then. I stood up and I knew that God had called me to preach. God done a work right there in my life. And I got to thinking about that is my field of dreams. Hold on, watch me. Had I not stood with God there, had I not stood for God there, Kelly would have never been in my life. All three of my children would have never been in my life. This church, me pastoring, you sitting here this morning, would have never been in my life. Every bit of it stood back at that pea patch that I decided I was taking a stand in 1998. And I'm not here to brag on me. I'm not here to say anything about me. What I am here to say is the Lord wrought a great victory. God does great things. What if I'd have said no? What if I just went to programming computers? I was going to Gaston College at the time, 1998. I was taking computer programming classes, enjoyed those, until I actually called to preach. That messed everything up in my life, but it fixed everything. I remember going back to Gaston College. I was just a semester away from having a diploma that would have allowed me to get a job programming, making really good money. And every time that I walked in there, preacher, every time I walked back in there, I knew I was not where God wanted me to be. And I was miserable. My grandfather had a stroke. And I had to miss some time during that. And I took it and I said, well, Lord, if you want me to quit, I know I'm not happy, then I won't do this anymore and I'll start going to Bible college. And so I did. I started going to a Bible college up in Statesville. God led me and ended up leading me down to Victory, down in North Augusta. And this place may not look like much to you. In fact, Brother Haven, people drive by this place every day. People drive by this place. They hardly turn their heads sometimes. People drive by. It might not mean like anything to you. It may be just a parking lot. It may be just a couple buildings. It may be just a little church on the side of the road. But for me, it's a field of dreams. That's why I'll fight for it. That's why I'll stand for it. That's why I'll believe God in it. Kelly, if you'll come. It's powerful to go back to the places where God has done something that others may look at as insignificant. I got saved over at the Cruiser's Turnaround, crossing the Franklin Boulevard, Myrtle School Road. Every once in a while, we'll ride through there. And I tell my kids, where are we at? And they all know, that's where you got saved, Daddy. Every once in a while, I ride down 321 South and pull in a little parking lot of a Bethel Free Will Baptist Church. That's where I first started going to church, where I first started hearing about the gospel. God first started dealing with my heart. Every once in a while, when we go down to North Augusta, my wife always wonders why I want to do it. I said, let's ride over to Aiken. Aiken's about 20, 30 minutes from North Augusta. Let's ride over there, ride through the neighborhood. For 4 years, Brother John lived in a little rented house over there and just believed in God that he could. Drove back and forth up here 3.5 of those 4 years, believing God that he would. Every once in a while, I'll go out to the field over there when we go to the camp meeting at Victory. They used to, before they had the tabernacle, they set up the tent. They'd put sawdust down. They'd pack hundreds, even over 1,000 people in that tent. It was hot as blue blazes. And I can walk around over there and find a place where I remember bowing down. And God saying, you don't need to worry about that other Bible college, those other places. This is where you're supposed to be. And 4 of the best years of my life were spent in that place. Now for you, it might not be Aiken or North Augusta or even over in the shack. For some of y'all, it's a conference center in Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge. That's a little brush harbor in Pigeon Forge. For some of y'all, it's a revival meeting somewhere. If Miss Midge was here this morning, there's a little circle that was drawn out there in the parking lot one Sunday evening. We took everybody's getting ready to have a revival.
We took everybody out there and said, draw a circle. I want you to write down the person or the thing that you believe in God for most. And her son was in bad, bad shape, up in ICU in the Charlotte hospital. They didn't think he was going to make it. And today, they're with him, celebrating the life of not only their grandchild, but their great grandchild. It might not be that tabernacle down the road, but you know where your place is. And I want to encourage every one of us to make a trip back to that field of dreams that God put that seed down in your heart. I want you to stand with me. I wonder how many of us this morning will come and gather around and say, God, I'm believing you for all the things that are lay ahead in my future. I'm believing you for all the things that lay ahead for me. God, I don't believe that you saved me to leave me here, that you saved me to leave me alone. Oh, God, I'm coming before you. How many of you want your son to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for a place in my life that you spoke to me. Thank you, God, for a place in my life where you changed my life, where you've done what I didn't think could happen. Oh, God, I want to tell you, thank you. Come on. You better get a vision this morning, because the battle's coming. The enemy is on his way. We're going to have to stand and fight. Though others may run, though others may falter, help us, oh God, to stand in our field of dreams. While these have come and these are praying, you're here this morning and say, Preacher, I'm struggling in some areas in my life, and I need to stand. I want to stand. I need the strength. I need the power from God to do what he's called me to do. How many of us just raise our hand? That's me, preacher. We see those. Are there more? Here's my hand. Help me, oh God, to stand and to fight the fight that you've called me into. I thank you, God, for saving me. Thank you, God, for loving me. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Preacher, I know I'm saved, but I'm not where I need to be with God. I know I'm saved, but I'm a far cry from where I ought to be in my spiritual life. Would you help me pray? I wonder how many of us just be honest and say, Lord, I need help. How many of us throw our hand up? I need help today, God. I'm not where I need to be, but I want to stay here. You're here this morning, say, Preacher, I'm not 100% sure. Therefore, I want to die right now. I do not know for sure that I'm ready to meet God like I am. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here this morning, would you slip your hand up and put it right back down? I won't come to you, embarrass you, call you out, but I sure will pray for you. Preacher, here's my hand. Please pray for me. I need the Lord in my life. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for all you've done. I thank you, Lord, for what you will do. God, we're trusting you. We're believing you for great days ahead. Lord, have your will. Have your way. Lord, I ask you that maybe this week you'd give us opportunity, if we can't physically, then at least in our mind, to roll back to that place, that field of dreams in our heart. God, may we have a desire, a drive to live for you, to fight if we need to fight. I thank you, Lord, for all you've done, what you will do. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray.